Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops
at. Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to
the man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys still, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
It's that time of the year again as college basketball takes center stage with the tournament finally upon us. It's March Madness, people. Let's go! If you're looking to wager this year, BetOnline is the number one spot for all your updated odds and info, along with great contests, including the bracket contest, where you have a chance to take home the top prize. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to get started. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. BetOnline, where the game starts. Hey there, Marcus Dash here, co-host of Chief Concerns. At the conclusion of this episode, please make sure to like and subscribe to our podcast right here on YouTube. And for all you listeners out there, please be sure to give us a 5-star review on any of the platforms you use to listen to us. I want to thank you all for listening to us throughout the season, and we look forward to engaging with you all throughout the offseason. Enjoy the episode. Hey, guys, welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm here with our host, former tight end Jason Dunn. And tonight we got a guest host and former quarterback Tyler Thigpen. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
So we kind of talked about it a little bit before we got on, but this kind of felt like we had a playoff game loss today in the way this whole Tyreek Hill thing played out. I feel like we just lost a big game and now we're coming on to talk about it. I don't know. What was your all's initial reaction with the breaking news that happened today?
Go ahead, JD.
To me, when I got up and just started hearing all the, first, I thought it was rumors, and then when it started coming in, I was just rocked a little bit because I didn't think it was going to happen. To be honest with you, as far as trading a guy like that away, we talked about this a few episodes ago that there was three guys that in the building you just couldn't let walk. Okay, that was Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes. I said those three guys you got to keep. Just keeping that core offense together. And so I think you fit pieces around those guys as best that you can. And then, you play with that and see what you can do and it still come out. I mean, it still led us like fourth in offense for the season. But the reality is this, Tyreek Hill is a skill set and a guy that is one of the greatest in the history of ever playing this game, as far as what he can do. There's no one even close to when I'm seeing a guy that can catch the football and go hit his head on the goalpost every time he put his hands on a ball. That's the way I look at it. And so I was talking about this today a little bit on Spaces on Twitter, that when you have a guy like this, he changes the complexity of the defense, right? I mean, you didn't really see the two high safeties as deep as they were, but because of Tyreek Hill, teams had to play that way. So when I start looking at like how trends are set, we start looking at guys in any professional sport, and then you see how guys they change the rules of the game or something happens, or you have to do things defensively or offensively. This guy means that he's that good of a player that teams know we got to stop this guy. And I thought about the same thing, like a guy like Lawrence Taylor. So they start doing things different because Lawrence Taylor was just getting sacks. He was just killing guys. They was like, look, we got to change things up, to where you start seeing more like backs chipping on Lawrence Taylor and whatnot. They started incorporating a little bit more of that. And so the defense will start doing the same thing with a talent like Tyreek Hill. So to me, man, it was something that was really mind blowing. Let me put it that way, just to see this. So it's crazy. And I'll leave it at that. I'll let Tyler go ahead and go in and I'll respond.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's just, you know, it's one of those guys like, you know, Jason touched on, just you can't let him get out of the building. But it's also that you just see it year in and year out that, you know, you have those guys that do well and it's like eventually they're going to get paid. And it's like, do you have the cap space to pay them? So unfortunately, you know, obviously the type of player he is, I mean, those guys don't come around, you know, very often. And to watch him, you know, over the past couple of years, how he's developed and become the player he's become is just unbelievable. But like you said, anytime he touches the ball, you don't know what's going to happen. Like in the playoff game where he catches a little short pass and the next thing you know, 70 plus yards, he's, you know, hitting his head on the goalpost essentially. I mean, nobody saw that coming. But, you know, it's one of those things to where I think with the guys that we'll talk about later on in the show about the guys coming in, I just – knowing Andy Reid and, you know, the type of quarterback Patrick Mahomes is, I think they'll – you know, they're going to have to figure it out. I mean, at the end of the day, it's unfortunate that you have to lose a guy like that. But when you have the amount of athletes and the great players that they have, it's like you can't pay every one of them, unfortunately. And it's sad to say that, but that's part of the business that a lot of people don't understand essentially. But it is a sad to say that, you know, obviously he's not going to be a Chief anymore because, you know, he was a playmaker and thought they could have, you know, essentially, you know, done more. Yeah, I thought like to see him return kickoffs, but, you know, because you just never know when that guy's touching the ball. But I wish him the best and hopefully Chiefs Kingdom can rally back around the guys that we got and continue on.
Yeah. And the one thing that I thought was kind of interesting was like, if you kind of compare it to, I mean, it's really not a player to compare it to, but, you know, we had Gonzalez, who was a, you know, a big fixture in Kansas City. And that's the last guy I kind of remember that when we traded, that was like a big deal. We traded like an offensive piece that we traded. And, you know, that was like, but that difference was Tony was not really in his prime anymore. It's kind of towards the end of his career. He was kind of ring chasing at that point, going to a contender. Whereas Tyreek's in his prime still, and we're trading him, you know, before he's getting to that, like the kind of end of his career where he's chasing rings. I mean, I think that was kind of the big thing for me was like, wow, like we're trading a guy who's still in his prime. And then obviously we know he wanted a record breaking deal, which he got. We just couldn't pay that. But was that something you thought of, guys? Like the fact that we're trading a guy in his prime right now.
Go ahead, JD.
Yeah. Look, 100%. You know, I kind of look at it like this. It's almost like trading Jerry Rice in his prime to someone else, right? And when they traded D-Hop, I mean, I was kind of like, man, I was kind of blown away at that. You know, Davante Adams going out here to Oakland is another one that just kind of blew my mind. And so somebody had made a point. It was like, oh, you know, Tyreek is almost 30 years old. He's 28 years old, you know, prime. Like he had his skill set because of his stature and his build and what he can do, his speed, his ability probably won't start waning until he's probably 34, 35 years old, to be honest with you. I mean, that's the way I look at it. And here's the thing. If he starts, you know, losing a little bit of speed, he's still going to be passing everybody else in the NFL. I mean, that's what I look like. Yeah, hey, absolutely. Okay. Now you're just making, you know, as fast as all the regular wide receivers out here. So, I get that we can't pay, you know, every guy out here. But there's certain guys when I'm sitting there saying, like, look, you got to keep this guy here. I mean, find other ways, you know, restructure maybe a deal here and there to try to keep this guy in the building, especially when you know you have a weapon. And I think that's what, you know, because the contracts are so massive now, right, this is the issue that you have to deal with. And so when it comes to it, now you're starting to think like, well, am I going to start saying, well, I can't really start paying every guy this way. And every guy, I got to look at how much am I paying it? Because I'm thinking down the road, if I pay this guy this much, I can't pay these guys down the road from here. And I got to look at the guys that's on my roster. Can I pay, you know, Travis Kelce when he's coming back? Can I pay, you know, this guy when he, you know, Orlando Brown Jr. when his time comes up? And so it's going to be those things every single year. You know, I heard Thuney restricted his contract a little bit to kind of help. And somebody had made a point about, you know, maybe Patrick didn't know it or he co-signed on this. Look, Patrick didn't really have a choice. I mean, when it came down to it, You know, it's going to be on Tyreek and the team, right? I'm sure Patrick probably talked to Tyreek like, look, man, we're trying to get this thing done. You know, if I need to do something to restructure my deal, maybe to help out, you know, maybe getting some money, you know, down the road, cool, just to get you here. But, man, these things happen, man. It's just part of the business, so.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things, like you said, I mean, with Tony, them trading him, I remember that. Obviously, I was there the year that they let him or traded him in Atlanta. And, you know, at that point, you know, the year before, he'd already made the statement, obviously, with Herm and everything. He was like, I want Tyler to be our quarterback moving forward. And, of course, the new regime comes in. And at that point, they're looking at Tony. It's like, hey, you know, this guy's, we can still get some value for him right now. Let's go ahead and trade him and whatnot. But as far as for a guy like Tyreek, I mean, what they're picking up essentially in, the, I believe, 5 draft picks for him, what he's getting, obviously, money-wise down there, it's not like, for instance, he's chasing a ring, essentially like maybe what Tony was, you know, because of obviously Miami hadn't had a ring in quite some time, essentially. But you know, it's just one of those things to where, you know, right now, obviously, you know, a lot of people are sad, they're upset and hurt, but who's to say that, you know, you don't pick up that next Jamar Chase or something with that first round pick you get, or, you know, things like that, that you look back, you're like, dang, maybe it was worth it or something. You know, I don't, you know, obviously you can't tell the future, but right now, obviously everybody's still sour over it. And, but it is, you know, it comes back to is like, unfortunately, you can't pay everybody. You know, if that were the case, you know, you'd always have these teams that are stacked with all these athletes. But a lot of times it, you know, at the end of the day, when you put too many people, too many of those, you know, kind of type mindsets or athletes on a team, like the dream team that the Eagles had a, you know, a few years or, you know, quite a year back or whatever, that Vince Young came out and said, look how they fell apart. I mean, those, but at the end of the day, I mean, he's just, it comes down to, he is a unique athlete and he's special, and athletes like him don't come along very often. And you love that you had him for the amount of years you had him. But now it's just one of those things to where he's on to his next chapter, and Kansas City's got to do what we got with what we got and build on that.
Yeah. So what do you think? Because, you know, I look at, you know, of course, down the road, you know, and my thing is with veteran players as opposed to the draft, and we know this, when you know a guy, his skill set, what he can do, and it's proven, you know, it's easy to kind of stick with that guy and say, look, you know what, I'm going to pay this guy because I know he's going to get us. You know, I don't know how many balls, 100-something balls a year. I already know that, right? He's going to get us, you know, he's going to be the top echelon every single year of the NFL. This guy that's coming in from college, you know, who's being, you know, majoring in, you know, economics. Hey, you know, hey, what is he going to do? We hope he's going to turn it to a Jamar Chase, right? Yeah. Nobody's really seen Jamar. Look, Jamar Chase was great in college. But did I think he was going to have the success that he did when he got here to the league? Not at all, right? Absolutely. And so those guys are kind of like, to me, it's kind of hit and miss. Like you said, he's such a unique skill set in the history of the game, what he's been able to do. Like, I enjoy when I see him out there playing, I used to just laugh the way he would just make defenses look so silly. Like, he's just playing around with them. You know what I mean? People just miss and just the stuff he would just do. And it was like him playing, it was like men amongst boys. That's how it was. Like backyard football to him, just making guys miss. So
half the time he's running, he's looking backwards at people. You know, I mean, I'm out there running for my life, looking straight ahead. You know, he's fast enough to be able to look back and backpedal and whatnot. But you're right. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things to where, like, to touch on the first part you said, it's like these teams out there, they're like, hey, let's go and trade for a guy like Tyreek because we know what he can do. We've seen it in the NFL. You know, so many of those things that – or so many of those players that come out in the draft, you don't – I mean, that's a college level. Think about how many quarterbacks have been bust that may have been great in college that get to the NFL and just can't make that transition. I mean, there's plenty of other specific athletes, you know, skill set athletes that are great in college, but when they get to the NFL, it's just a different game. I mean, everybody says that, you know, it's the best of the best out there. It truly is. I think there was a stat a long time ago. It's less than 0.5%, I think, of college athletes go to the NFL. I mean, that's just unbelievable to think. So You know, that's what I always say to these kids in high school. I said, dream big. But I said, the reality of it is, I said, get your education, because at the end of the day, you got to have something to fall back on.
That's right. That's right. Another thing. So let me ask y'all about this. So how do you think, and then somebody asked this question about the structure of the offense, how you think it's going to differ? And you know, mine was, you know, when you have a guy who has changed defenses where you're playing, basically dropping guys in eight in coverage, two high safeties as deep as they can. He just stretches the defense, you know, horizontally and vertically. He just does it. So what do you think the difference is going to be offensively for us, you know, kind of going forward?
I mean, you know, obviously a guy like Tyreek, it's like every time he gets on the field, where's number 10 at? You know, like when defenses are scheming for him. You know, bringing a guy in like Juju, who we'll touch on later, I know Marcus said, but it's one of those things to where now, you know, you have a guy like that that you probably don't feel like you have. Like Tyreek is almost like one of those guys that you feel like you got to force the ball to. You got to get him the ball. You got to keep him happy and whatnot. And, you know, now Patrick's the type, but he's always spread the ball around. It's, to me, it's like next man up. Is Tyreek ran deep, he's tired, he caught, pops out. Next thing you know, the next guy up, I mean, he's completing to that. I mean, it's just – it's the NFL. I mean, yeah, Tyreek is very special, but you still got some great athletes at receiver, you know, on the roster right now, and I'm sure they're going to continue to bring some guys in too.
And if you look at, I mean, just to back that up, I mean, this year teams were eliminating the deep ball, so they were eliminating a lot of what Tyreek Hill was good at. I mean, this year, and then we kind of had to, you know, go kind of have these ball control offenses where we were digging and dunking, and we talked about we don't run the ball enough. And maybe that's what we'll have to implement this year without Tyreek Hill. But I think I think Bucky Brooks had tweeted earlier saying that Andy Reid's offenses have never been having this like elite number one receiver. He's always made do with a bunch of guys who kind of contribute. And obviously it was great to have him, you know, obviously it's great to have a Tyreek Hill, but I mean, and Bucky Brooks even said, he's like, who's to say that the Chiefs don't even draft a number one receiver? A guy in the first round. They may go out and sign a couple of vets to just kind of fill in. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, but, you know, Andy Reid is a master when it comes to offenses. So there obviously is a plan in place, hopefully. I don't know. But, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's what I think. What do you guys think about not having an elite receiver in Andy Reid's offense?
Well, I tell you what, I agree with you 100%. I think at this point you have to start at least lean on the running game a little bit more, right? You don't have him in you know, to be that weapon. You start running the game a little bit more. But also, too, I think this is the role that, you know, Hardman steps up in, you know. So now all of a sudden, Hardman's that fast guy that was utilized a little bit like Tyreek was. So we're sitting there saying, you know, from the games that he did last year, and I think he started growing, he started getting better. They're saying, look, if Hardman can just catch half the balls that Tyreek was doing, or three quarters of it, right, then we're going to be fine, okay? And maybe also, too, we lean on the running game a little bit more. Maybe they're looking for another running back to come in. There's some running backs out there to kind of help CEH that can run in between the tackles. So now what you do, as we know, the run definitely opens up the pass without a question. And so you start doing things like that offensively, then maybe you can get away with not having a Tyreek Hill. And I think they will. I think they'll make an adjustment. But I think that's why this Juju signing, to me, when they had Tyreek here, was so significant, right? Because then I was just like, well, shoot, now we really unstoppable. Because I think what we was missing, nothing taken away from Pringle or Robinson, but you wanted that third guy, that guy that you know, hey, if they double-teaming Tyreek and they double-teaming Travis, that third guy is going to eat him up, right? And so Hardman, I think they were still trying to fit him into the role, get him better into where he needed to be. But like a true wide receiver, and I think Merkle, because he was running back, he was still trying to, you know, figure things out. He's gotten better. But that true third tight end, not tight end, but should I will say, you know, Fortson might come back, right? We talk about Gray. Obviously, it's going to be another key opponent or a proponent coming in. But being like that third guy, the third wide receiver, is going to be able to do those things. So if Hardman can make that transition to being that guy, to being Tyreek, I'm all for it. And I think that may be the game plan, I'm thinking.
And that, I mean, that's a good point too. You know, it's one of those things where you know, you can talk different scenarios. It's like you obviously have brought the guy like Juju in, and you still had Tyreek on the roster, but it's then like you sit there and you got guys like Travis Kelce, Tyreek, Juju, those three playmakers. And then you start thinking, it's like, you know, as a quarterback, you're like, dang, I got these three great, damn, I got to figure out how to give them the ball. And then as a quarterback, you're like, dang, if I feel like I'm throwing too much to Tyreek, Juju's going to be mad, or is Kelce going to get mad? It's like you get too many athletes, and it's like, dang, you understand that Patrick does a great job of spreading the ball around, but it's like, man, you get too many athletes over there, and it's like you're fighting yourself as a quarterback. It's like, dang, I've thrown it to Tyreek two times. Now I gotta figure out how to get it to Juju or whatever. But, I mean, it comes back to, I think Andy Reid, I mean, obviously in his offenses, he's always done a great job with the talent he's had at receivers and tight ends and running backs. I mean, he's able to scheme up, you know, each week. It's like 1 week it might be, hey, we're going to get Tyreek the ball. You know, all right, we set it up more or less for the next week. Because, all right, we fed Tyreek this week, we're going to feed Travis Kelce. So Andy Reid, I mean, he's one of the best at it, you know, when it comes to play calling. And there's a reason that he's, you know, has the trophies in his trophy case like he does. And hopefully he can continue to add there. But I don't question. I bet you, Andy, I mean, if I had to say, I mean, not that they have a plan in place already, but, you know, I think with what they got, were able to get for Tyreek, you know, right now, you know, you wait one more year, and let's say he has a bad year of some sort, he's dealing with injury or something, now you can't get maybe that type of, you know, picks for him and whatnot. So, I mean, there's always different scenarios you can sit there and play. So, I mean, just one of those things where hopefully Kansas City will end up coming out on the other end of it and picking some guys up that can obviously step up in that place.
Getting five picks for a non-quarterback is kind of unheard of. I mean, just looking at it today was, you know, like looking at the past guys who've gotten traded for a lot of picks. Like Khalil Mack was one that gotten multiple picks for him. But for five picks for him, and Devontae Adams only got two picks last week. And then we got five picks for Tyreek. But the question I wanted to ask is something that everyone's kind of talking about is, obviously it's subjective here, but who's going to miss who more? Is Mahomes going to miss Tyreek more? Or is Tyreek going to miss Patrick more?
I'll go ahead. I mean, I think it'll be a combination of both. I mean, I would say, I mean, you might say something different after halfway through the season next year, but I would say Tyreek's going to miss Patrick more because there was, I think Tyreek missed a couple games last year. I think he was dealing with some injury, or might have been the year before, that the Chiefs just kept on rolling. I mean, obviously you missed a guy like Tyreek, but, you know, for somebody like Tyreek that's going to Miami, and, you know, he's got Tua down there, and I think he could potentially, as long as he can stay upright and they can keep, you know, the defensive linemen and linebackers off of him essentially, you know, I think he could have potential and do well. But I do think that Tyreek's going to miss Patrick because, I mean, how many years have they been together now? Four?
Yeah, all 4 years of Patrick starting.
All 4 years. I mean, like, the chemistry that they have is just, I mean, that you can't build that kind of chemistry. It's like, I'm sure they probably could look at one another and between the film study throughout the week, it's like, hey, if I look at you and we see a certain defense, I want you doing this. Because I'm sure there's some ad lib. I mean, Patrick's got that to his game that, you know, he's willing to, you know, ad lib whatever the moment may be or make a play call of some sort.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Tyreek's going to miss Patrick, you know, significantly. And for the simple fact, you know, Patrick can let that cannon go, right? Yeah, I mean, I joke, you got a cannon. He got an arm on him that just – we talking about other guys, just certain things they just can't do, right? The throws they can make. And so he'll have – Tua, I think, is a good quarterback. I think he is. I think he plays well. I think he does a great job. He's decent enough to get the ball to Tyreek, but as far as like just being like out there on the defense and putting things on a rope, I mean, hey, Patrick is one of the best. There's no doubt about it. And don't get me wrong, Patrick's gonna miss being able to like, well, look, Tyreek's down there somewhere, right? I'm just gonna throw his sucker up. I know a joker down there. He's going to come up with this ball. He's going to miss that, right? He's going to miss that element. So,
yeah,
you know, it's man, I tell you what, man, it's a nasty breakup. That's the way I look at it. Like, daggone, man, we gotta say bye to each other. Well, for now. All right, I'll see you later for now.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be tough, man. It ain't easy for neither one of them. I bet they happy because Terry got what he wanted, right? Hey, man, if you happy with it and you feel – and look, the Dolphins is an up-and-coming team. We know that. They got a new head coach down there. McDaniels is going to get a little bit creative. They got Waddle down there. They got the other tight end that's good. So they got a good team down there, right? So they felt like it was necessary. Like, look, this is the piece that we need offensively to kind of help take us over the top. So, hey – more power to them. Like you said, we got the 5 picks. But I remember Shannon Sharpe saying some things like, F those picks, right? You're like, man, forget those picks. I don't care about that. Shoot.
Yeah.
You want the guy. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say this, Marcus, and I'm going to leave it at this, right? And we said this before. I just think that the way things were done, it should have been done earlier if you thought you couldn't get this thing done, right? Before Devontae Adams got his deal done and got signed. You should have been trying harder, like, to get this dude done. If it was like one of those things that was stalled, you would have had a little bit more flexibility, right, to do what you will with some of the free agents that was out of here that we surely needed on defense. So that's my argument. That's my point. I really like, man, so why wait this long, right? So.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the waiting aspect as far as getting things done, you know, letting all the players go with free agency. But more so, not nothing, was the Devontae Adams. We waited to see what Devontae Adams' contract was going to be before giving him his contract. We could have set the market price. And I know Christian Kirk's contract kind of threw a little wrinkle in things. I think we had things in place, but then Christian Kirk got his contract. And it was like, ooh, wait, let's wait and see here. And then Devontae Adams got that huge deal, and then which – Tyreek surpassed today with his deal. So, I mean, yeah, I think we should have got that done a little faster or sooner than all this stuff. But what are you going to do? You know, I'm happy that Tyreek did get his money, though, in the end. I was kind of weirded out by the picture that Drew Rosenhaus took with Tyreek. It was kind of a weird picture. So in that picture, he's holding up a phone with Derek Dieter, one of our receivers on the practice squad. He's in a FaceTime with the photo. I thought that was odd. That made no sense to me at all.
What's that now? What happened? You said what?
In the selfie photo that Drew Rosenhaus took with Tyreek, I don't know who the other guy was, but Tyreek's holding up his phone, and on the phone is he's FaceTiming with Garrett Dieter, who is like the number 7 receiver on the team. He's one of our practice squad receivers. That's Mahomes' boy. Every time you see a video of Mahomes, Dieter usually right next to him. So I thought that was an interesting throw in there.
Tons of people take multivitamins, but it's important to choose one that is top quality. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It's also lifestyle friendly and fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's BLEAV. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health.
Okay, so moving on to the guys who are in-house still. So our next topic, this is, I thought this was going to be the bigger deal this week, was, you know, the signing of Juju Smith-Schuster. By many metrics, since 2017, he's amongst the top slot receivers in the NFL. He would have been, like JD said, would have been an amazing addition next to Tyreek and Kelce. But now he's the top dog. Him and Hardman are the top dogs in the as far as receivers on the depth chart right now. What do you guys make of the receiver room in the depth chart currently constructed? Right now we have Hardman, Juju, Josh Gordon, Fountain. But we're said to be looking at Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's visiting today.
And also the ongoing rumors of being interested in Jarvis Landry. And even before the show, I just heard that the sources say that Packers and the Chiefs are both looking into DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So currently constructed receiver room as it is right now, but then also the rumors. So what do you guys make of all the stuff that's going on as far as the receiver room?
I'll tell you this. I think, man, to be honest with you, where we at today, and it just makes Juju signing that more important, right? I think, you know, you had to get a guy like that here. And you got to get somebody else. I mean, I like the room, but you got to get another guy. We just lost, one of the top receivers in the history of the game, seriously, in what he can do. So can he get a DK Metcalf here? That'd be incredible. Or Tyler Lockett. I don't know if Lockett can get here. I'd love to have Lockett here, right? Because that gives you a speed guy. And all that. That's true. Now Mahomes is like, oh, I got another guy I could throw Tyler down there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Scantling, I don't know about that. Landry, he would have been that guy to come in to bend, you know, the extra piece. If Juju didn't, we didn't take him. And so I was looking at Landry to be that guy as opposed to Juju. So, I mean, there's guys out there, but to replace a guy like that, it's hard to find him in a draft. But I will say this. We signed Juju to a one-year deal, right? It was like $10 million, whatever the cost was. Now, if he plays well, you're saying, look, you know what? We got him here for the 1 year. He did great. Matter of fact, sign him to a long-term deal. Now, we can't give him the $10 million. Maybe we give him the $20 or whatever he's asking for. We can't give him $30 million, Juju. You was hurt. We know you hurt. You know, you're a little long. You know, you're right there with everybody else, but you're not quite upper echelon. So that might be, you know, a perfect move, you know, looking at it, you know, down the line. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the quarterback or as far as the receivers room, I mean, with regards to, you know, you bring up a guy, Josh Gordon. I mean, given that guy obviously came in kind of mid season essentially last year or, you know, the earlier part of the year. But, you know, he's one of those things where it's like, give that guy a full offseason, give Patrick time to work with him. And the guy, to me, that's another specimen we talked about last time is a guy like him is, I mean, he could change the game. He could be that guy, obviously, that now you're drawing the double team in a sense from that standpoint and allowing Juju or Travis Kelce to get these one-on-one matchups. Because ultimately, you're, at the end of the day, you know, as a quarterback, you're saying that my guy's one-on-one. If I got a guy one-on-one, that's what I'm taking. If you're trying to force the ball into double coverage, you know, it's going to come back to bite you in the, you know what. But, right. You know, when you got Travis Kelce matched up on these – linebackers, safeties. I mean, Patrick's going to take that all day. I'll take that matchup all day long. And Juju's the kind of guy that you're going to move around. And then, like you said, I mean, if you're able to pick up Metcalf, I mean, to me, I almost would like, you know, Lockett. You can get him for a lot cheaper than essentially a Metcalf. Metcalf's probably going to want more money. And then, you know, a guy like Landry, I saw something, you know, I know you mentioned that. I saw something about they were, you know, possibly a possibility of that, but obviously now with Juju and whatnot. But if you start putting so many big names over there, I feel like you get too many egos in one room that it doesn't always gel together. I mean, it might look good on paper. It's like, dang, look at all these guys we got. But when you have that in a locker room and so-and-so's not happy, he's, you know, chirping behind so-and-so's back over here. I mean, that stuff can tear a locker room apart. That's the last thing you want to have happen to your team because, you know, from the inside out, I mean, it's – the locker room's the locker room. Those guys are, you know, the heart of everything. And if you're, you know, being toxic from the inside out inside the locker room, that could really hurt them in the long run.
Yeah. And to the point where you're talking about, that's the one thing with my hesitation with Metcalf. I know a lot of Chiefs fans saw that rumor. It was like, oh, DK, DK, DK. He's going to be free agent next year. He might be asking for something near what Tyreek was asking for, $25 to $30 million a year. Whereas Lockett signed a deal last offseason or the year before so he's 4 years, $69 million. And so he won't be a free agent until 2026. And that's a reasonable deal. I mean, that's what, 15 something a year. That's a solid deal. And plus, he is what we just lost. Maybe he's not Tyreek Hill fully, but that is kind of like a Tyreek Hill replacement. So that'd be a rumor that I'd be a fan of. But talking about Josh Gordon, because you played with him, Tyler. JD made a point on the show. He's made a point that you got to give the guy a full off season to kind of, you know, he came in after being off for so long. He came in the middle of the season, probably a playbook that's probably 200 pages long with Andy Reid's playbook. How beneficial is that for him to kind of get this offseason to kind of get his, you know, get his wings back, you know, get his legs back? I mean, how beneficial do you think that is? And do you think he still has something in the tank left?
Yeah, I mean, I'd always love to say he's got something left in the tank. I mean, the guy's, you know, I'm not sure exactly how old he is right now, but he's kind of, you know, bounced around from team to team, hasn't really played a full season. So, to me, he's not one of those that's been beat up. I mean, to me, he's still got some miles left, you know, to make something happen in a sense. So, you know, as far as having somebody like him with a full off season, I mean, that's just – I mean, you think about coming in midseason like you did last year, and Patrick – there's no time for Patrick to work one-on-one with him, essentially. You know, after practice, the last thing, you know, you're doing is working essentially with Josh being the fourth or fifth receiver, or, you know, whatever number he was last year. On the depth chart, you know, your time is mainly focused on Tyreek and Travis and those other guys that have been there throughout the whole year. So the biggest thing for, you know, going forward this whole offseason, for them to have that work, to put in that work that maybe the coaches are, you know, hearing Pat or Patrick, you know, because I'm sure Patrick's got some say-so in the talks of like, hey, you know, we're probably not going to be able to keep Tyreek because, you know, he wants more than essentially we may have room for, but we can possibly get these picks for him. You know, so it's just different things. There's so many scenarios that could have possibly come into play here that, you know, looking back now, it's like, you know, hopefully Chiefs fans, you know, after week three, you're like, you don't even talk about Tyreek Hill. You know, you might see him on the top 10 Sports Center plays, I'm sure, just because he's going to be making some plays, but you know, hopefully you don't have to look in the rearview mirror. You're looking forward, moving forward.
So, man, look, that right there, Tyler, thank you so much, because I don't understand why people didn't understand that. Really, I'm serious. And so I was fighting with E all the time. You know, everybody just wanted Josh Gordon to be Josh Gordon from 2014. And what? Look, this man had been out of football for 2 years, 2 years. And the thing was, he was coming into a system, which I said was – a little bit more geared toward smaller receivers, kind of find the windows. It wasn't quite that same, you know, style of play like the West Coast offense or like for a bigger receiver, right? Those things are kind of regulated for like the tight end in the middle, midline doing things. And so him coming in, I guess it was like week three or whatever. Look, we knew the transition was going to take a long time. And like you said, which is an absolutely incredible point, during the offseason, when you start getting all the rapport, catching all the football, you know how a guy's thinking, what he's running, you know, how he's looking. You just start working on the fade route. You start doing all these things. And sometimes what you start doing is you start getting your offense predicated off what you have in the building, right? And so when it starts, you know, in after the draft, you start putting all the hay in the barn. Okay, this is what we got. This is our pieces. So he was a bonus when we was able to get him, you know, in the third game, you know, the season last year. He was a bonus, right? Absolutely. So we were just looking for the guy to come in and, hey, look, have some productivity. And he did a great job in the running game, didn't catch the balls like he wanted to. But this whole offseason, and we know his physical, he's a physical specimen. He's only 30 years old. He's only 30. He's 30 years old, right? So he gets his football legs underneath it, okay? And I said, look, getting the ball thrown to him from Patrick Mahomes is different from him getting the ball thrown to him from his little cousin who plays – is probably the backup quarterback on a junior high team, right? It ain't the same thing. So, you know, he's in the building with the real guy throwing the ball to him. So he's going to be able to benefit off of this, right? Now Tyreek ain't in the building. Now, look, Josh, he's going to get himself back prepared – maybe even lean down a little bit. I mean, he might even lean down some to kind of play in this offense, right? And that's going to be great for the Chiefs. But I will say this. I'm going to kind of backtrack a little bit. Tyler Lockett, like he was talking about his contract. Look, man, bring him home. He was born in Kansas City. I played with his father, you know, Kevin. And look, we seen Tyler grow up, man. We seen him. Bring him home. Tyler, come home. That's what we want you to do. Come on back home, man. How about that? You want to do that? We take on that contract, bring y'all here to the crib. Hey, man, you good, right? Come on to the family. Yeah, man, he's family. That's family. He was birthed a chief. He was birthed a chief, man. So, but that's the reality of it. So, that's where I'm at. But Josh is good. All those guys, I think we're going to be all right. Put it that way. I think everything's going to be all right, man.
And that's the thing, too, is like getting those draft picks for Tyreek. It's like, who's to say they don't go after, you know, lock it for 2 third-rounders or something? I mean, you don't know. I mean, we don't know exactly what's going on behind closed doors, you know, right. From a standpoint of what the Chiefs are thinking. So, you know, all we can do is speculate and, you know, play the cards that we have in front of us. But, you know, I still think that, you know, that receiver room, I mean, yeah, you lost a heck of a player in Tyreek, but I'm telling you right now, I'd be blown away if the Chiefs still aren't right back where they were last year again in the AFC Championship, if not playing for another Super Bowl. You know, and that's the big thing. I think, you know, JD brought up a good point about, you know, you obviously were trying to structure a deal for Tyreek, and it's like you maybe did miss out on some defensive guys and stuff like that. So, you know, and that's the nature of the business. You know, you may be sitting here playing this hand and not realizing that, you know, somebody else is you're missing out on something else. So, but, you know, picking up those draft picks, to me, defensive players, you know, can come in day one and pick up right off the bat from a, you know, a rookie standpoint. You know, defense to me is a lot more simpler than offense. I remember being in my rookie the hotel my rookie year when I got drafted with Minnesota. We were going through rookie mini camp, and they throw 25 plays at us the first day. The second day, another 25. And then we had like right at over 70 plays in 3 days of minicamp, right? I'm sitting, my head spinning. I mean, we probably had 20 plays in our entire offense in college, you know? And I've got Brian Robeson, the DN from Texas that played at Minnesota all those years. You know, he was sitting over there just on his phone. You know, I think it was a flip phone back then. We're watching TV, and I'm over there like, I got my headphones in, just kind of like trying to block out the noise. He was like, what you doing? I was like, you know, learning to play. I was like, how many y'all plays y'all put in? He said, oh, we got 4 for the whole camp. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And I'm like, you know, at that point, I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. But I mean, defense, you know, obviously there's some different type of schemes that defensive run, you know, there's Rex Ryan schemes to where you're bringing all those blitzes and all that stuff, you know, so that takes a good leader on defense, essentially your captain, your middle linebacker or whatever, the one that's making the right calls. But overall, I mean, yeah, a defensive player, I mean, yeah, I mean, to me, compared to all, they're dumb. I mean, I'm just going to put it out there like that.
Hey, you got how many coverages? You know, maybe all 9 if you want to call something else, combination coverages here and there. Come on, 2, 4, 1, 3, you know, combination 6, 8, 9. Defense line, you're doing twists. Oh, God, we learned a new stunt today. Is that really? That's it?
That's it.
Yeah. New blitz? Okay, yeah. I got it.
Absolutely.
Come on now.
And then, yeah. I mean, I remember call sheet with Kyle Shanahan. He's a West Coast guy. I mean, we'd have 300-plus plays on a call sheet. I mean, so Andy Reid, you know, he's a West Coast guy. I mean, you look at those. There's a reason those cards are as big as they are. Because there's that many plays. I mean, obviously, if you only had 20 plays, you could have the same size font on an 8x11 or whatever it might be. Right. But, you know, it just comes back down to a guy like, you know, just to touch on it, you know, getting a full offseason with a guy like Josh Gordon. But then, you know, obviously, I mean, those guys are, you know, for Patrick to have those guys in here and, I mean, for a full offseason, I'd be blown away to – If I don't say that, you know, the Chiefs offense is right back up at the top again next year.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon, that's something you've been kind of harping on, JD. And I think now, and I think I don't know if we knew something that, like, you know, obviously the team already knew this whole Tyreek Hill situation was kind of a little more murky than we all thought. But, you know, we signed Josh Gordon to come back. And then
there was that report from the combine where they talked about how they finally learned how to utilize Mecole Hardman. You know, remember that comment that came out? Reed said that that we finally know how to use him. It's like this guy's in his third or fourth. Mm-hmm. We finally know how to use him. So I'm thinking we found a role for Hardman, maybe not to fill in the Tyreek Hill role, maybe to do what he was kind of doing towards the end of last season, getting more touches. But maybe Gordon steps up. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be Tyreek Hill. Maybe he does step up. I mean, there could be – it could be very valid if he does come in and kind of take on a starting role.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, you just want, you know, solid guys, you know, in the room catching the football. And you know, Josh has been around. So that's the thing about it. He's a veteran guy. He's nobody new. He's a veteran guy. But now you have that extra year where you get to learn who he is. You get to learn those things. And so 2 years of not playing, everybody was just off of him. Like, I don't believe in Josh Gordon. Man, he's only been here, like I said, he hadn't played in 2 years. And even before then, he was like sparingly just playing, you know, from place to place because of all the things he was going through, right? To me, I think he finds, you know, at least some consistency, a place where he can call home, that is, he can be comfortable and say, look, I don't really have that much pressure, right? Nobody's really expecting anything on me. I just signed a one-year deal, right? So they don't really see me coming. If I come out here and I start burning it up, hey, I'm back where I need to be. And so I'm pushing. Look, I'm pulling for him. I'm pulling for Josh. I'm pulling for him. And like I said, if it happens that we could bring Locke because he was raised in Kansas City, hey, that's even better. So
full sweetener. Absolutely. All right. So you guys kind of mentioned this here. So the final concern is, I mean, obviously everyone on ESPN, Fox Sports, everyone was kind of saying, "Uh-oh, the Chiefs are done here." You know, and if you look at all the acquisitions in the AFC West over the past 2 weeks, Khalil Mack coming back to the AFC West, Russell Wilson going to the AFC West, Devontae Adams going to the AFC West. Meanwhile, you know, we're bringing in Juju, Justin Reed, but then we're letting go Tyreek Hill. So obviously, there's kind of a little bit of overreaction there. But has the balance of power shifted in the AFC West?
If we play today, but we don't. So that's where I look at it. And thank God we don't play till September. So right now, if we had to go out and play a game today, yeah, absolutely. We're you know, third or fourth best team, or, you know, in the division. No doubt about it. Just on paper, what you're looking at. But after all said and done, as long as you still got 15 back there at the helm, we're going to be all right. I think what we're going to bring in, what we'll see with some of these moves, and I'm just hopeful. I'm hopeful these things are going to work out. I think we'll get back to where we need or were before all of this offseason started rolling. So,
yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I mean, it's one of those things to where, yeah, the stuff that those other teams are making, you know, those teams are, they haven't been to the AFC Championship the last, 4 years in a row. Yep. They're trying to do what they can to get where the Chiefs have been, you know, at, you know, and yeah, we lost Tyreek Hill, but it's like, you know, and you could say that saying he's just one man, but it's like, you know, I feel like these other guys on Kansas City are almost, and the other receivers in the room are going to put a chip on their shoulder and be like, hey, we're going to make you forget about Tyreek Hill. Not that you're going to truly forget about him because, you know, of what he brought to the table, right, but, right, you know, moving forward, it's like, you know, who's to say, you know, like we talked about Josh Gordon, who's to say that guy, I mean, he's 30 years old. Are you kidding me? That's when most people are in their prime, you know?
Yes. Right.
I'm so, you know, and Juju, I mean, he's got, to me, if he can stay off the whole, you know, TikTok world and everything and stuff like that, you know, dances and all that. Because to me, you put a target on your back. I mean, unfortunately, you know, I mean, they might have to, you know, rein old Patrick's brother in a little bit too, because, you know, not many people are a fan of him, but you know, there's people that don't like the Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes' brother or whatever, and then there's people that didn't like the Steelers because of, you know, Juju doing all the dances and stuff like that. And I get, and there's a time and place for that, but like, you're here to play football. You know, you're not here to get all your fans and your followers, all these, you know, funny videos or dance, you know, trending dances and stuff. You know, do one of those dances after a after a touchdown, like, you know, like Jamar Chase, his little giddy or whatever, things like that. That's when you can do your dance, you know, not on the sideline before the game or whatever it might be. So, you know, just, you know, moving forward, I just think those guys will, you know, a full off season together with Patrick at the, you know, like you said, you're not going to, as long as Patrick's still back there, you know, you're always going to be a contender, and he's going to continue to feed the ball to guys who need or that are open. And then as far as, like you said, mentioned earlier in the show, like, who's to say our running game doesn't step up? Because at some point you got to take the load off, you know, you can't keep doing it week in and week out. I mean, you know, Jones in Green Bay, I mean, think about the workload he took off of Aaron Rodgers the past couple of years, or Williams or whatever his name was or whatever. So, I mean, those things are, you know, and those, what's it, Edwards Jones, what's the running back?
They got Dylan and they got Aaron Jones up there. Both of them are workhorses.
Yeah.
They got a good running game up there.
Edwards Clair.
Oh, yes. Clyde Edwards Hilaire.
Yeah. I mean, a guy like him, I mean, he's going into his third year this year. I mean, you know, he's been a stud, but it's like, you know, at some point, Andy's like, all right, you know, I mean, obviously you're taking the ball out of Patrick's hands in, you know, his first 2 years because of what the weapons he's had. Now it's like, all right, let's give Patrick a little break and, you know, get a running game of some sort. But, you know, let's just going back to Andy Reid's offense, it's probably going to be tough to say that there's truly a strong running game in a sense, because he's going to air the ball out. There's no doubt on that.
Yeah, we might have to twist his arm a little bit on that one. But the, you know what I mean? Like, hey, Andy, come on. Like, just please give us 8 more runs. Eight more. That's all we want. Just 8 more runs, okay? Let us call it some course of the game. But Juju and Jackson, you better keep them jokers apart, man. You better find out where they are at all times. Hey, where's Juju at? Oh, he's going to go see Jackson. No, no. Go, go get him. You better go get him. So hopefully, man, we just keep them jokers apart.
Absolutely.
Keep them apart, man. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Jackson has already tweeted at him, or he had an Instagram post like tagging him in it. So he's already ready to go for the collaboration.
You didn't get to him fast enough, man.
Man. No.
That's pretty good.
Tyler, last question before we go. We always talk about balance, like, you know, having a run game and a pass game balance, especially with Andy Reid's offenses. But as a quarterback, is that kind of like, you know, not I mean – for you, would you want an offense that has more balance, or are you kind of like, when you look at that, is it like that's a quarterback's wet dream to have, like an offense that, you know, maybe runs the ball like 8 times a game and it's more like 40 to 50 passes a game? Is that more, I mean, for Mahomes, as he started at this point in his career, is he like, okay, well, you know what, we do have to kind of be more balanced, whereas maybe his first 2 years he's like, yeah, let's go run and gun all day long, we're throwing 50 times a game?
I mean, yeah, obviously as a quarterback, you want to be, you know, throwing the ball and slinging it around. But at the end of the day, you know, you want to win football games. And, you know, I can promise you Mac Jones, after he threw the ball 3 times against Buffalo in that game and they won the game, he was like, hey, we won the game. I don't care, you know. And not that you're ever going to throw the ball 3 times with Patrick Mahomes, but it's like, you know, if it takes us running the ball 8 more times a game to, you know, because – but every – to me, an offensive coordinator is going to adjust as the game goes on. It's like, hey, we can run the ball more this game, or dang, we can't get the run, but you can't completely abort the run. So it's, to me, Andy Reid's always done a great job of taking what the defense essentially has given them. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's one of those things to where when you got a guy like Patrick, you're not going to take the ball out of his hands and just rely strictly on a run game. I mean, it's, yeah, you'd just be crazy to do something like that. All the great quarterbacks, you know, Tom Brady, you would never say, you know, we're going to go out in here and run the ball the whole game. But, you know, offensive coordinator, if you can run the ball X amount of times and win and run the clock, I mean, I can promise you Bill Belichick, he wants to see that clock ticking. He don't want to see incomplete passes. And I know at the end of the day, you want to have more on that scoreboard than your opposing team. And that's what it's all about, certainly.
Yeah, and I'll speak on, like, as far as on the run game up front, the big guys always want to be able to lean on guys. They want to lean on the defense, you know, and they hate having to get back, man, and kick back in pass protection all the time. And when you have a Khalil Mack and, you know, those guys that's going to be over there with the Raiders. It's like, look, man, I'm doing this, and it makes you soft, it makes you softer, makes you back, you know, just sitting back all the time. And we know, man, pass rush, just a matter of time for them guys and boys get back there on you. And so what do? How do you negate that? Go straight at their mouth. That's what you do. And you start wearing them down third or fourth quarter, and you take some of that pass rush off of them. That's what you do. Lean on them a little bit, take some of that pass rush out of them. So, I think you got to do it, man. Andy has to incorporate a little bit more than running game here in Kansas City.
And I think, we only have currently, it's only Derek Gore and CEH Allaire on the depth chart right now. But right before the show, I saw that Ronald Jones is visiting Kansas City today. So, and Ronald Jones coming out of USC, a lot of people compare him to Jamal Charles as far as, you know, the way he ran his running style. Maybe he hasn't really turned out to be Jamal Charles so far in his career, but maybe a change of scenery might be nice. And we could definitely use a guy like Ronald Jones in our offense.
And that's a position, a running back position to me is probably, you know, obviously protections are key for a running back. But as far as running the ball, I mean, you ain't got to coach that. I mean, a guy, you know where holes, you know, 0 through 8 and where 1 through 9 is. I mean, at the end of the day, the biggest thing I think the transition for a running back, a rookie guy essentially, is the pass game protection of understanding, you know, who the line's got and who do I have. But, you know, a guy like a veteran like Patrick now, I mean, there was times where I know the younger running back was, you know, more or less looking, hey, who do I got? And I'm like, hey, you got 54 to 52 or whoever it might be, essentially. Yeah. So a guy like that. But, you know, like I said, I mean, that's just – those are minor things that I know a veteran like Patrick is pretty much could bring a young guy like that along, certainly.
Right.
And plus, Ronald Jones, you know, he's played with, you know, Brady. So, you know, he could be, you know, that's something he's got in his back pocket, and going to Mahomes. So he's going to take that with him to Kansas City if we do sign him. So I know him and MVS Scantling are visiting today and tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with that. But that does it for us, guys. Now with that Tyreek Hill trade, we got $29 million going into next week. So maybe by our next show, we'll maybe plug some of the edge holes in our roster, maybe bring in another receiver, and maybe even bring in that running back we were just talking about. But that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. Tyler, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Thieves, man. Appreciate you, brother. Always good seeing you, man. Love you, brother.
Absolutely. Y'all have him back on soon. Yes, have a good one, Marcus.
Definitely. Good, buddy.
Yeah, man.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.